The Ford Dealers of America presents The Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Bing Crosby, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. If you've been in Detroit lately, you know everyone saying, watch Ford. Perhaps you've been trying to pump your Ford dealer to get some inside advance information. Well, your Ford dealer can begin to give you a few facts about the car, but he says, wait till you see it. After all, the brand new 49 Ford will soon be here. Soon you can see for yourself the car with the look of the year, the ride of the year. In fact, it's the car of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last day of National Airmail Week. And paying a tribute to National Airmail Week, we bring you a mail who shouldn't be on the air. Oh. He's Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I hope you observed National Airmail Week.
Yes, I was high all week.
I had better jokes than that before the show, and nothing happened. No kidding. And they said you were high all week, and they said that you would never get you off the ground. Well, you showed them, Kenny.
Yeah. Well, did you celebrate National Airmail Week, Fred?
Yes, Kenny. All week I smoked wings. You know, people today don't appreciate our airmail service, Kenny. Do you realize how many people it takes, truck drivers, messengers on motorcycles, pilots on planes, and postmen on foot, to get an airmail letter from here to California?
Yeah, it sure is some operation.
Yes, it is, Kenny. Where else can you get that much action for practically nothing?
Only at a Wallace rally.
Right you are. Say, Kenny, I forgot. Did you know that this week we are also starting National Foot Week?
Say, National Foot Week reminds me.
Reminds you?
Yeah, feet remind me of dogs, and dogs remind me of Frankfurters.
So?
If the Bakers go on strike this week, the baseball parks will have no rolls to go with their hot dogs.
No rolls?
No rolls.
Kenny, with the new Ford coming out, who's worried about the rolls?
I'm sorry, Fred. I can't laugh at that joke.
Well, nothing to be embarrassed about. You weren't the only one, Kenny. You want to give it some thought? Are you sure?
Positive.
Kenny, it so happens this weekend, the Ford dealers are having their convention here in New York. They are here to see for the first time the new Ford car. Kenny, tonight, every man in our audience is a Ford dealer. And the Ford dealers, as you may have heard, are our sponsors.
Fred, what was that joke again?
With the new Ford coming out, who's worried about the road? Kenny, you are in the bag for next year. Tell me time to worry. What else is new?
Well, some lady in Washington is campaigning to have women's faces put on paper money.
Say, why should women have their faces on money? They've got their hands on most of the money now, Kenny. And speaking of money, did you hear Jack Benny's program tonight?
Yeah, Jack wasn't on his program last week.
I know. You know, I thought the show was much stronger last Sunday than tonight.
Robert Taylor took Jack's place.
Well, that shows you with that program, Kenny. Anybody can take Jack Benny's place. A tailor, a shoemaker, a street cleaner, a barbecue pit operator. What are you laughing at?
Well, with the new Ford coming out, who's worried about the role?
Oh, now, wait. Kenny, before you start overdoing it, I think I had better leave here and get going in the general direction of Allen's Alley.
Well, what is your question tonight, Fred?
Well, this past week, the United Parents Committee urged parents to listen to the radio with their children and to set aside definite periods for family listening. And so our question is, what are you doing about your radio listening?
Shall we go?
As the two snowballs said when they started rolling downhill, who's going to stop it? Ah, it's a wonderful night in Allen's Alley, Kenny. Say, there are some planks missing from the Claghorn front steps. Look, the senator must be putting his platform together. Oh, well. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say somebody's belaboring my clabbers. Oh, it's you, son.
Yes, Senator.
Accelerate, son. I'm busier than the jockey's whip on a long shot coming down the stretch.
You,
I just got back from Oregon. I went out to hear that Sass and Dewey debate.
Well, how did the debate come out, Senator?
Well, as the new bride said, when she broke the egg in the coffee ground, she didn't settle nothing. People say Stassen's ideas will drive the communists underground. That's a lot of gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook?
Son, today you can't go underground unless you see one man.
Harold Stassen?
John L. Lewis.
Well, tell me, what about Mr. Dewey?
Dewey says keep the communists out in the open.
So?
With the communists out in the open, you can't tell them from everybody else.
Yeah,
with the housing shortage, everybody's out in the open.
Well, Senator, where do you think the communists should go?
Don't tempt me, son. I'm on the air. See me after the program.
The
place I got in mind will melt that iron curtain.
But look.
Sic semper non sequitur nux vomico.
What is that?
It's Latin.
Well, I know it's Latin, but what does it mean?
Go ask your druggist, son.
Well, Senator, our question tonight is about radio listening. What program do you listen to?
Well, son, there's only one way they can get me to listen to the radio.
How?
They get all the Republicans together and put them, all those Republicans, on one program.
All the Republicans? Well, what would you call the program?
People are funny. So long, son. So long, Eddie.
So long. Well, the Senator's got something here. Let's see how Mr. Moody feels about it.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, what about your radio listening?
Why, I used to keep a radio in the barn.
Yeah?
I'd turn it on while I was doing my chores.
Well, what was your favorite program?
The Grand Ole Opry.
You like the Grand Ole Opry, eh?
Yep. One minute I was laughing, and next minute I was crying.
Yeah?
Then I was laughing and crying together.
Your emotions alternated.
I was laughing and crying together.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what I...
When Red Foley would sing, "This bale a new alfalfa I cut from mother's grave," I'd bend over the milk pail and start crying fit to bust.
Well, I can see how you'd be affected.
Yeah, and then Rod Brasfield, the fellow from Hole in the Wall, Tennessee.
Yeah?
He'd start cutting didos, and I'd be rolling in the hay, tittering and laughing like a loon.
Oh, good. You're enjoying it, huh?
Would sing, "I wrapped on the hearse, Granny darling. But Granny, you didn't look out." And I'd start blubbering again.
Well, tell me, are you still listening to Grand Old Opry?
No. Radio's broke.
What happened?
Well, one of my hands is nearsighted.
Nearsighted?
One night after I turned off Grand Old Opry.
Yeah.
This hen, she crawled inside the radio.
Uh-huh.
She backed into something that felt round.
One of the tubes, eh?
Yeah, so still warm.
Uh-huh.
Well, the hen being nearsighted, she thought she'd laid an egg.
Oh, yeah.
She backed up and she sat on it.
You mean that hen?
She sat on that tube until she hatched it.
Your hen hatched a radio tube? Well, what came out?
A big chicken that's the spitting image of Mary Margaret McBride. Go on.
Oh, that's silly. Mary Margaret's no chicken. Anyone would know. Let's try this next door.
Howdy, Jeffy.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum. Tell me, do you listen to the radio?
Not lately. Confidentially from Mrs. Bloomberg, I'm learning mine lessons.
Well, what happened? What happened to Mrs. Bloomberg?
Well, always Mrs. Bloomberg is going to quiz programs.
Oh, quiz programs, huh?
On a program, taking it or we will giving it to you. For barking like a dog while blindfolded.
Yes.
Mrs. Bloomberg is winning a refrigerator, also a motorboat autographed by Guy Lombardo.
Mrs. Bloomberg was lucky.
on Truth and Subsequences. For dancing the Big Apple with a wildcat.
Yeah.
She's winning a sleeping bag, also a guaranteed moose call.
Oh, say no.
And on Cover Girl for a Day, she is winning 200 manhole covers.
Mrs. Bloomberg had a streak.
Oh, on Morons Are Suddenly Millionaires.
Yeah.
For eating an antipasto with chopsticks.
Yeah.
While sitting in 2 pounds pot cheese.
Yeah.
Also simultaneously singing Nature Boy.
Yeah.
She is winning a diesel locomotive with 2 miles of track.
She is going places, Mrs. Bloomberg. Radio, I must say, has been good to Mrs. B.
Also, it is her undoing.
Undoing? Where is Mrs. Bloomberg today?
She is living wearing a mandarin coat in Japan.
In Japan?
Well, last year on a program, everybody is going on a vacation.
Yes.
Mrs. Bloomberg is winning a ticket to Tokyo, first class.
Well, why can't Mrs. Bloomberg get back from Japan?
The ticket is only one way.
I see. Well, one more call and we can leave the alley. I wonder if Mr. Cassidy is around.
Here, man, what's on the door? I'm not going to take out the door. Oh, no, what do you do? Hello,
Well, Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Oh, terrible.
What's wrong?
I got Alaskan indigestion.
Alaskan indigestion?
I've been eating too much of that frozen food.
Frozen food?
For 2 days I've been coughing up snow.
Golly.
Look at the front of me suit.
Say, what's all that white stuff?
My stomach's so cold, it's frost on me vest.
Frost?
If I ever get gas on me stomach, it'll be a blizzard, don't you?
Well, Ajax, what about your radio listening?
Well, once a week, as regular as clockwork, I turn on the radio.
What programs do you tune in?
Only one program, me boy, the University of Chicago Roundtable.
Well, how come, Ajax, you listen to an intellectual show like the University of Chicago Roundtable?
I happen to be a charter member of the Third Avenue Guild for the Preservation of Culture and Genteel Tippling.
Culture and Genteel Tippling?
Once a week, the guild meets in the back room at Kerrigan's Cozy Corner.
I see.
First, the grand omnipotent pharaoh calls the roll.
The roll.
Then every paid-up member is served a quart of liquor and a small individual barrel of beer.
I see.
Then the bottles are opened and the bung starters commence their homey function.
Uh-huh.
As glasses are set up, I lean over to you.
Yes.
I turn on the radio and tune in the University of Chicago Roundtable.
And then?
The Third Avenue Guild for the Preservation of Culture and Genteel Tippling starts to carry out its lofty objectives.
And as the program goes on...
We ignore it. We don't know what they're talking about.
Then why do you tune in the roundtable?
Or to remind us.
The roundtable reminds you of what?
To have round after round until we're under the table.
Goodman has finally gotten himself in the mood to play. The five DeMarco sisters curtsy to Maestro Goodman. All is ready, and the DeMarco sing Betty Blue. Girl.
Betty Blue likes Bobby Gray, and she likes Bill White, too. Gray and White come round each night to woo young Betty Blue. Betty Blue likes Georgie Green, and Tom Brown thrills her, too. And all the town knows Green and Brown are sweet on Betty Blue. Each night the ribbon in her hair is gray or green or white. The one whose color that she wears can't stay an older dye. Does Betty Blue love gray or brown, green or white or ooze? Oh, Betty, who's your daddy? Pretty Betty Blue. Met Charlie Black, and ooh, she likes him too.
Gray and white got such a fright when they saw black and blue. Now gray and brown and green and white are in a stew. Betty's wacky over Blackie and the boys are blue over Betty. Pretty little Betty Blue.
Thank you, girls. And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Say, Fred.
Yes, Kenny?
How would you like to have a big job?
A big job? You mean like being vice president in charge of shad at the Fulton Fish Market?
Yeah, no, Fred. I'm talking about the new Ford big job, The most powerful truck Ford has ever built. It has a big 145-horsepower engine and a gross train weight rating of 39,000 pounds.
Say, that is a big job.
Yeah, and the big job is only one of over 139 great new Ford truck models, and they're all bonus built. Built extra strong to last longer. It's no wonder they're the big truck news today.
Well, look, I could have used a Ford truck 30 years ago, Kenny, when I was in Fordville, you know, juggling and carrying my cannonballs and Indian clubs around.
Well, Fred, you ought to go back into Fordville.
You really think so? Why?
In a Ford truck's new million-dollar cab, you'd be the most comfortable juggler on the road.
Yeah?
All the drivers are raving about it.
Kenny, why tell me about the new Ford trucks and the million-dollar cab? Vaudeville is dead. I can't use a truck today.
Fred, I just want you to see the new Ford trucks. You'll go crazy about them.
And if I go crazy?
That'll make it unanimous. Everybody else is crazy about the new Ford truck. It's the hottest truck line in years.
Well, I'll see what I can. If this number had been finished, it would have been Tell Me a Story. Played by Maestro Al Goodman and 25 bookmakers who followed the maestro home from Belmont Park the opening day. And now, say, Kenny.
Yes, Fred.
I just remembered. Have you a piece of paper? I have to write my weekly letter to Portland.
Well, here's part of a radio script on this table.
Oh, thanks. Say, this is the back page of Front Page Pharaoh. I can write on this. Well, let me see. May 23rd, the date. Dear Portland, glad you liked last Sunday's program with Gracie Fields. You are wrong. I sang the song with Gracie. It wasn't Frank Munn. This week I finished reading a new book. It's The Life of Bing Crosby, and it gave me a great idea. If I could only find Bing. I heard he was in New York incognito using the name William Morrow. So last Thursday, I started out to track him down. This is the hotel, and this must be the Crosby Suite. I just saw a horse go in the other door. Hey, I wonder if Bing is in here still incognito. Well, I'll knock.
Yes?
Mr. William Morrow?
No, my name is Bing Crosby.
Well, Bing.
Look, Bud, if you're a song plugger or something, I do all my business through Nick Kenny, the writer of Moon Over Mother's Day.
Well, and
if it's about baseball, the Pirates have a bat boy, so just.
Well, look, no.
You're trying to get Dorothy Lemure's telephone number, it'll cost you $15. That's what Hope Charge needs.
Well, Bing, you remember me. I'm Fred Allen.
Oh, Fred?
Yes. Capital A.
I didn't recognize you, yes. Fred. You look wonderful.
I do?
And the last time I saw you, you looked like a medical student's homework.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm here, Bing. I just finished reading that new book about your life.
Oh, how does the story finish? How do I end up?
You haven't read the book?
Oh, I've been too busy. I've been out hustling it.
Bing, you mean...
Oh, not only me. I've got Dixie and the kids. They're out peddling the book door to door.
No kidding.
Yeah, yesterday one of my kids had a little trouble, though.
What trouble?
Well, he was going from house to house.
Yeah.
And he ran into Jim Farley working the same block with his book.
Jim Farley was out peddling?
Yes, and Jim is rough competition. You see, with the Farley story, Jim gives away a bottle of Coke. We can't have no premiums with
Bing,
our
Bing, you and I, you and I can take this book and make the story of your life. Make a picture of it. It'll gross $4 million.
Oh, no, Fred. I'm I'm too busy.
Too busy to make $4 million?
Well, Fred, you can't take it with you, you know.
Well, I know. But when Gabriel blows his horn, Bing, you can come back and look around for it.
Tell me, what do you say, Bing?
Oh, no, Fred, I got a lot of things to do. I have to be out at the ballpark every day with the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know. When we have a night game, I have to hold the lantern.
Oh, you hold the lantern?
Yeah.
Oh, Bing, why don't you forget about baseball?
Forget it. Why, this year Pittsburgh's going to win the pennant.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the Dodgers?
That's what the Brooklyn fans want to know.
Tell me, what do you do when you're not with the Pirates?
Well, during the day, I'm generally tied up playing golf.
Yeah.
My nights are fraught with banquets and speaking engagements.
Speaking engagements?
Yes. Last night at the Philco Dealers Convention, I gave a short talk entitled, You Can Have Fun, with the 1201.
This was for the Philco Dealers.
Yes, and then we had a rather spirited debate on whether the Philco television could be seen more clearly through a glass of beer or a highball.
Oh, that must have been interesting.
I handled the rebuttal for the highball.
Well, tell me, where else have you spoken?
Oh, I've been around. Last Tuesday, I was guest of honor at a chicken plucker's banquet in the Bronx.
Oh.
And Friday, I gave an exhibition at Roseland to plug my new picture, The Emperor's Waltz.
At Roseland?
Yes.
Gad, Bing, you are a busy man.
Oh, yes. Tonight, I may appear with Jack Eigen if I can find out who he is. Who is this, Jack? Are you going to tell me later?
Yes, I give you a plain sealed envelope. Bing, I tell you what I'll do. If you let me make the picture of your life, I will tell you who Jack Eigen is. Honor bright.
Done, by George. How does your story go?
Well, of course, you're the star. The picture opens in 1925. We open in Spokane, Washington. You are 10 years old. The first scene is the living room of the Crosby home.
Bing. Yes, Ma?
Is that you singing again?
It's a new song, Ma. Yes, we have no bananas.
Singing? You're always singing. Why aren't you ambitious like your brothers?
But, Ma...
Look at your brother Larry, up at 4 o'clock every morning with his paper route.
Yes, Ma.
And brother Bob, the only boy with Western Union who owns his own bicycle.
Yes, Ma.
And little Everett working at the A&T. Why, every week, Everett brings home $3 and all the groceries he can carry.
But, Ma...
You and your father are the only ones in the whole family not working.
Sit down, Ma. I'll sing you a song.
All right, Bing, but this is the last song today. Go ahead, son.
Lora, Lora, Lora.
Bing, what a scene.
You liked it?
That voice you had as a little boy. Tell me, when did your voice change?
The day Phil Spitalny made me an offer.
that was tough.
I wasn't discouraged, though, Fred. I packed my bag, borrowed Brother Bob's bicycle, and I left Spokane for New York.
Well, how old were you? Well,
by the time I arrived in New York, I was 20.
Great. When did you get your first break?
Well, one day I went to my agent's office.
Yeah.
Hello, Rosie.
Oh, it's you again, Crosby.
Any bookings for me today, Rosie?
Look, Crosby, I only book talent. You ain't got none. Now pick up your rhinestone megaphone and skidoo.
Oh, but Rosie, with the megaphone, I can be another Rudy Vallee.
Who needs another Rudy Vallee? How's it going to look 20 years from now with two Rudy Vallees out of work?
Oh, but Rosie, I even had my eyes slanted.
Rosie, you got to help us out.
Yeah, what's up, Al?
The rhythm boys are in trouble, Rosie.
You hocked your tuxedos?
No. Our baritone's sick. The doctor says it may be malnutrition.
Malnutrition? If that's an epidemic, I'm getting vaccinated.
Rosie, you've got to get us a baritone.
Well, wait, what about me, fellas? I can sing baritone.
Well, who are you? What's your name, kid?
Bing Crosby.
Bing, my name's Al Rinker. This is Harry Barrett.
Well, I'm glad to know you, fellas.
Well,
give me a chance with the rhythm boys, will you? I'll make good.
Okay, Bing, do you know Bye Bye Blues?
Oh, sure.
Let's see what you can do. One, two. Don't sigh, don't cry, bye-bye. I said bye-bye,
mean
bye-bye blues. Bing, this will be a high spot in the picture.
Well, I guess so. The day I joined the Rhythm Boys, I was on my way.
Well, what happened next?
Opportunity knocked with a sledgehammer.
Opportunity?
A man named Hooper invented the radio.
Oh, say, I remember Hooper. In the early days, Hooper was calling people up to see what they were listening to, and they were listening to each other. Well, Hooper fixed that. He invented the radio.
That's it. And when Hooper turned around, there I was with Ma Perkins.
Great, we'll have a close-up of your first sponsor looking out of a cheese.
Great.
Next, we'll show, you know how they do in pictures, show the wheels of a Greyhound bus spinning. You're on your way to Hollywood.
Oh, this is great.
Yes, this will be revolutionary. Tell me, Bing, why did you go to Hollywood?
Well, I needed the money. I had a family to support.
A wife and children?
My brothers.
Your brothers? I thought they were the ambitious ones.
Things have been going against the boys, Fred.
Oh.
Larry lost his paper route.
And Bob?
Western Union had started those singing telegrams that let Bob out.
Oh, naturally.
The only one working was Everett.
He was still with the A&P?
And doing rather well.
Oh, good.
Everett was bigger. He could carry more home.
Bing, I've got it. An inspiration. Forget the family angle. The next scene is the Paramount Studio. You're going into pictures.
Oh, great.
Cecil B. DeMille is directing Barry Fitzgerald in The Road to Dublin. As the scene opens, Cecil is introducing you to Barry Fitzgerald.
Now, Barry, this is the stunt man for your picture, Bing Crosby.
I'm glad to know you, Mr. Fitzgerald.
I'm the star of the picture. Frankly, I'm disappointed.
Disappointed in me, Mr. Fitzgerald?
Yes, they promised me Buster Crabbe.
Well, Buster and I have the same initials.
And the other resemblance ends. I don't think you do, Mr. Crosby.
Oh, but Mr. Fitzgerald, I can act.
Well, we'll soon find out. Now, take this script. I'll give you an audition.
Yes, sir.
The scene is a peat bog in Ireland. You are playing me half-witted son. Now, let me hear you read your part.
Okay.
Faith and desire and desabers and bad cesty be gone at the back of the shillelagh to you and then thaw shay thick and degaly and fog a baller.
How was that?
Terrible. I can't use you in the picture at all.
Why not?
Well, you've got an Irish accent. You speak with a definite brogue.
But Mr. Fitzgerald...
No. Where's Mr. DeMille? Close me down. Get me Buster Crabbe.
Please, Mr. Fitzgerald. Before you get Buster, give me one more chance. Maybe I can't act, but I can sing.
Well, we might be able to use a song in the picture. Let me hear you. Go ahead, sing, Mr. Crabbe.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Fitzgerald.
When dreams I kiss your hand, madam, your dainty fingertips, and while in slumberland, madame, I'm begging for your lips. I haven't any right man, madam, and I pray my dreams come true.
Thank you, Bing Crosby, for joining us tonight. Next week, I guess, it'll be Dr. Rockwell and his farewell radio appearance for the season.